first of all, the question is, can we recover? Because yes, the attacks are happening. You know, when I look at some of these community-oriented ransomware data points, it's like 38K ransomware variants out there. So the attacks will happen no matter what, right? Now, how do you really recover?
Right.
And you have to have a framework or a layer of resilience system, right, on top of the hyperscalers that can not only scale, because we are looking at a number of accounts. When I talked to customers or potential customers 2 years ago, and now I'm talking to some of these customers within Commvault, I am talking to CIOs that have 1,600 AWS accounts.
Wow.
The bar for cyber resilience has been raised. Bouncing back isn't enough. Businesses must recover with certainty. Commvault Cloud Rewind finally gives IT and security leaders true peace of mind while freeing them to focus on AI's full potential.
Welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. I am your host, Demetrius, and today on Data Protection Gumbo, I have the pleasure of speaking with Govind Rangasamy, who is the founder and CEO of Appronix, which was acquired by Commvault back in April of 2024. And they have a new offering now, which is called Cloud Rewind, which is also on the Commvault Cloud platform. So Govind, welcome to the Gumbo, and how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Demetrius. How are you?
What's your biggest goal right now that you're working on?
One of the reasons why Commvault acquired Appronix, now it's Cloud Rewind, is to be able to help cloud native customers to do more recovery testing, to be able to deliver more resilience to their applications. So it's very important for us to scale. Personally, I would like to see the market changing towards that model of customers being comfortable and confident that they can recover their systems. And if you think about the type of environment that we are seeing is at a different scale. So personally, I am getting involved in several of the customer meetings. So far, I've talked to almost like 250 customers within Commvault. So this is one of the big reasons why Commvault is a perfect partner to work with after the acquisition.
And I know you've been around the industry for quite some time as well. And one thing I want to get your take on is that for decades, businesses have relied on, let's say, traditional data protection methods like data backups and also what some of us call redundant systems or resilient systems. But as cloud native architectures and also cyber threats continue to evolve, because we continue to see lots of ransomware threats and all different types of ways that companies get their data stolen, right? Or encrypted, as a matter of fact. So what about, or what's your experience around why traditional data protection is no longer sufficient in today's cloud-first and cyber threat-heavy world?
Several reasons. First of all, data protection needs to happen, and data protection needs to happen faster and faster. So the RPOs are shrinking because of more and more cyber attacks. But when it comes to recovery of the application system, particularly on the cloud platforms, when these applications are by definition or by design very distributed and perhaps using multiple databases or the data sources for those applications, when you try to recover these systems after an attack, it's painful. It's really painful. So it's very important to look beyond just the data to be able to understand how the systems are really put together, how the systems, application systems are really running in production, maybe across multiple availability zones, like you mentioned, due to availability reasons, or even distributing the middleware components for horizontally scaling the applications. So when you think about an application system, a distributed dynamic application system, which is almost to a point where after a failure, you need to have the capability to be able to rebuild. So the industry that I've been involved with for a very long time, we have always designed systems to back up and then restore and perhaps recover a bunch of systems together, a bunch of virtual machines or databases together. Now we have introduced rebuild.
Okay.
So Commvault as a company has really pushed the boundary of this market to get to that rebuild capability for cloud native applications.
And so you mentioned and you stress rebuild. And when I think of rebuild, I think of recovery. But to you, in your mind, it may be deeper than just recovery, because there may be a difference from just recovering to having all of your applications and the network and the compute, everything is neatly backed up together, so to speak, or recovered together, right? What's your philosophy there around? What does it mean to prioritize recovery over protection? And also, how can organizations make this shift effectively, Govan?
Definitely. So if you think about the difference between recovery and rebuild, let me actually explain, starting from the backup to restore and recovery and rebuild. When you go back to early days of backup, when you back up the file systems, when you restore, this is an operational recovery for a particular file to be able to restore back to an original state. Organizations lose files. So you go to the backup systems, you get the files back, restore the files back. Then you got the virtual machine era, virtualization era, where the virtual machines themselves are basically VMDKs or files. A combination of those files really make up a virtual machine. Now you can recover those virtual machines or even recover the databases if you have your network setup, your compute infrastructure setup, right? In order to recover a bunch of VMware virtual machines, you got to have your ESX cluster set up. So you do the recovery of your virtual machines from your DR system or a backup system. You could even combine hundreds of those virtual machines for a group-oriented recovery using a runbook. What we are seeing, what we are showing, what we are capable of now is rebuild. When I say rebuild, imagine a cyber attack, a ransomware attack, where you don't have even your cloud account. You don't even know how your applications were running. And on the other hand, in another cloud account, you may not even have set up your network, your VPC, all the complicated infrastructure. You might have the data copies. Now, how do you really rebuild a dynamic, distributed application right from the network foundation and up? I'm talking about 7 to 10 layers of various services combined together. With a click of a button, you should be able to rebuild. So that's the difference between recovery and rebuild. But you know, again, comparing with the restore portion as well. So we are at the fag end of this capability to help organizations to have that resilience beyond just plain recovery.
Okay. And it's pretty impressive to me to walk me through your mindset when you were thinking before you founded Appronix, right? Why found a company or create something that goes to that level of detail that is able to recover the entire stack? Because you had to see something that was different from the way that other traditional software companies, especially in the backup industry, the way that they were doing things, it was different. And so you spent a lot of time, a lot of brain power really researching and trying to understand what can we do or what can I do in order to, because I think your company was about, 70 plus people, somewhere around there, self-funded.
You're self-funded completely, yes.
Right, which is a clap for that, right? Because a lot of companies take VC money and that makes it a little more challenging. But take me back to your thought process when you were maybe drawing on the napkin and saying, hey, let's create something that's going to be different of what I see in the industry right now.
Absolutely. In that case, we'll have to really go back to 2011, 12 timeframe.
Okay.
When I got involved with a company called Eucalyptus. At the time, I was talking to several enterprises that were trying to deploy so-called private cloud, very similar to AWS type of environments, and the applications were not there at all. And in order to deploy those applications, people had to move their application, even if it is a lift and shift. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you have to really understand how these applications were put together in the first place.
Okay.
Those are all not just your data from a storage system or virtual machines residing in some VMFS file system. So you'll have to really understand the intricacies of how these application components are put together so that you can move to those cloud-based environments. So that's one angle. We entrepreneurs connect the dots between two different or, 10 different angles over a period of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about a particular time frame, and that was a problem. And the second issue was when you go to the cloud, you tend to re-architect your enterprise applications. Typically, you need resilience for business-critical enterprise applications. And those systems, when they are created or even designed on the cloud, they would end up using multiple availability zones for availability purposes. So the setup itself is complicated enough. Now, coming from my storage world, and right after those periods, I was also involved in a company called Activio. I have to give it to them in terms of creating that mindset to reduce the RPO for a variety of enterprise applications, databases, and virtual machines. So we were simultaneously in the market, we're in the process of decreasing the RPO, which all became really useful now. Is during a cyber attack or more and more attack scenarios, you have to reduce RPO. Now, if you think about it, unless you have the applications, even if you had the backup data, the data is useless. And in order for the recovery administrators, I call them as disaster recovery administrators, specifically in those scenarios, it was assumed that these disaster recovery administrators would set up the network, would set up all the infrastructure, and then go to a replication system or a backup system to pull those specific data from those components of those applications and then manually put together using a runbook. But the problem with the runbook is that by the time you describe your runbook,
it's changed.
It's completely obsolete.
Yeah.
And in particular, cloud promised agility, meaning that you can go and program your cloud and you can change the configuration and the service dependencies on a whim. So if that's the case, your number of changes are increasing, right? And you're also, expecting the data to be backed up really quickly. So in those scenarios, how do you really put together an application system? And that's why the idea of you have to really understand the application to begin with. That's why we created the discovery module within Appranix and now Cloud Rewind. And that has to be a continuous process because it changes a lot. And you cannot ask, five different developers and the enterprise architect and the system administrator and the network administrator, hey, how are these applications together? They may not even know. So we had to solve that problem. That's why we created a component called Cloud Assemblies, which would automatically identify and wrap those configurations and the dependencies quickly and knows the data point. So it took a while and we were able to solve the problem. And the market also evolved towards resilience. Time and again, when we talked to our customers, potential customers, we came to know, oh, we don't need just backup. We need resilience. So
yeah.
I think I was lucky. And that's all I can
say. Yeah, it was a little more than luck. So you anticipated some things and took the time in order to work out the strategy and think about the patterns that you were seeing and put a little creativity on it as well. So thank you for creating what you created. And it's a great technology to have. But what are you seeing right now? Artificial intelligence is all the hype. Everyone's talking about it. DeepSeek uprooted the entire Wall Street, just the entire world, right? Because we were not expecting from a cost an efficiency perspective that you could have an open source LLM model and kind of use that, that could give information, right? That's a lot quicker, right? Or even as great as the information that was out there from the existing LLM. But what are you seeing, and what are your recommendations around organizations staying ahead of cyber threats, and what should they be looking at or looking for when it comes to protecting their systems from your perspective?
There are two angles to look at AI from resiliency perspective. One is how to use AI to get better at resiliency for business critical applications. Second angle is how to actually protect those AI systems. When I say AI systems, I'm looking at AI agents or chatbots. And these chatbots, even though it's a very simple interface to the regular human users, mm-hmm. to the backend, they're all made up of several of these cloud services, thinking about just the cloud-based architectures. And these services might be running across several containers, running on top of Kubernetes. And then the data sources could be many, because LLM models need to be updated all the time, right? You have the foundation model and you have DeepSeek-like a model created on top of the foundation models. And then I'm sure these models will evolve over a period of time, utilizing enterprise data. So they are all becoming business critical applications. Now, how mm-hmm. do you really protect these AI agent systems as a whole? The same mechanism applies. As these AI systems become business critical, how do you really protect them from cyber attacks? Or
right.
assuming that the attacks really happen, how do you rebuild those systems really quickly? Now, that becomes huge data problem, huge dependency level issues. Same mechanism applies, and we are in a position to do that. On the other hand, utilizing AI systems to be able to reduce the errors when you do resiliency testing, for example, mm-hmm. right? Those could also be done using the latest AI models.
And also one thing that we have to talk about as well, when you're talking cloud, you have to talk about some of the cost, right? Obviously, organizations want to keep the cost down as much as possible and be efficient about the cost, but you do want to make sure that you are able to have resilient systems in case something happens, because if there is an attack or your data is exfiltrated, it's going to be 2, 3, 4 times as expensive in order to bring in the right cyber resilience team to do the analysis and do the recovery. It's going to take a long time, et cetera. So you really need to make sure you do the work up front in order to understand what your RTOs and RPOs are going to be. But I want to ask you, what are some of the key principles to building a scalable, resilient data protection strategy that doesn't compromise simplicity or the effectiveness?
Sure. So in terms of just protecting the data, data resiliency is key, which means that, you know, the system should be set up and forget type of model, because on the cloud, you have several of these data sources that are changing all the time and the data gravity is only increasing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're human and you're intervening in terms of protecting the data, I think we have to reduce that. And Commvault Cloud has been set up that way. And then slowly, when you think about over a period of decades, we have perfected that system from a pure data protection perspective, right? I think we nailed it with the flexibility of the architecture. And from a cost perspective, it's very important to know when you are backing up on the cloud, for example, you are making so many copies of the data, right? And those copies are pretty much raw copies of the data that are getting backed up, let's say, on S3. So imagine mm-hmm. you have 100 virtual machines with 2 different disks, EBS volumes, and you're backing up every hour. And if you retain for 24 hours, you have 12,500 copies a day sitting wow. on an S3 bucket. And that's where the cost is. And the question that you have to ask is that, are these copies clean enough? Second, are these copies are efficiently backed up You can compress them, dedupe them nowadays at a highly effective compressed rate so that you don't have to spend that much amount for the number of copies. That also helps in terms of really keeping the copies clean. So as you compress and dedupe, you can also scan them to watch for anomalies of the data blocks so that you could do those ahead of time validations. So not only achieving the efficiency, but also cost reduction. Now, the reason why I talked about rebuild is precisely that. Because if you are doing the recovery testing, just like the old days, right? The expectation is that you're spending your money on the infrastructure that you create and keep it idle. That's total waste of time, effort, and money. Imagine if you have an SAP system running on the cloud with multi-tier architecture, with two different availability zones, and just for failover purposes, if you had to duplicate that infrastructure, but you kept idle. It's drifting away from production, for one, and you're wasting money, and you're managing too much. That's where the rebuild approach comes in.
Okay.
So from the data being resilient, meaning it's completely immutable, tested, kept as copies, efficient copies, from those data copies, we can rebuild the system. Even assuming that you lost your entire cloud account, you can rebuild your business critical applications like SAP on demand, because the cloud gives you that on-demand capability. So why waste money until you really need your systems back, even for testing purposes? You can completely do on-demand rebuilds. So that's where you can balance that very tough conundrum, if you will, that you will have to watch out for your cost on the cloud, because this is a big issue. But you also need to achieve resilience. And by saying that, people by default go to an availability, high availability architecture, saying you don't have to have high availability for those components that you don't really need. So keep your availability architectures to a minimum where you really need it. And the remaining portions and the entire application, if you have the ability to rebuild, you achieve the balance between cost and resilience and also availability. It's a very difficult kind of connection between the three, but we have systems now that can be deployed at scale to be able to get a level of resilience.
And you're having lots of conversations. Maybe this will be the last question, because I could go on, and we could talk about this subject for a while. What are some of the systems? Because you have lots of conversations with C-level executives and all different types of industries. So I'm sure financial services, healthcare, manufacturing, lots of different industries, because there's a lot of factors at play right now. And you got all the geopolitical things happening. So the world is flat, right? As Thomas Friedman said, right? Because we're on the same playing field, and now a decision that's made in politics can ripple across the world and also affect companies and organizations and what your strategy would be on how you're storing your data and the ability to recover your data. What are some of the systems that you're seeing as a top in most critical systems that organizations, or let's say CIOs, should prioritize just as around mission critical? What are you seeing as those systems?
Looking at customer-facing systems, mortgage payment systems, manufacturing, logistics-oriented systems. Some of these systems run, for example, Windows environments that cannot even do a midweek recovery testing.
Okay.
Those are all critical systems that I see across, not only in the North America region, Europe, Middle East, India. Some of these banks are pouring so much into the hyperscalers. They commit for a long time, $1 billion. Mm-hmm. I've heard as enterprises spending $1 billion per year running human resource systems, right?
Okay.
And multi-tenant human resource systems. And when you think about as a CIO, when I have the conversation with them, they are looking at several groups within their own organizations. Some of these groups are really advanced. They create infrastructure as code right from the beginning to deploy those environments on the cloud. And in the same company, you have the other extreme where the teams might have lifted and shifted those systems over to the cloud. And they lost the opportunity to even write infrastructure as code, right? And now as a CIO, working with CISO, because now I'm talking to more and more CISOs as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And those CISOs are really worried. First of all, the question is, can we recover? Because yes, the attacks are happening. When I look at some of these community-oriented ransomware data points, it's 38K ransomware variants out there. So the attacks will happen no matter what, right? Now, how do you really recover? And you have to have a framework or a layer of resilience system, right, on top of the hyperscalers that can not only scale, because we are looking at a number of accounts. When I talked to customers or potential customers 2 years ago, and now I'm talking to some of these customers within Commvault, I am talking to CIOs that have 1,600 AWS accounts.
Wow.
I mean, the scale is enormous.
Yeah.
Right? And they are all worried about things will fail. If that is the case, how do I take these crown jewels of these applications, business critical, mission critical applications, and how do I rebuild them so that I can even bring up that minimum viable sort of a business for me to get started and run? Because I cannot wait on an average like 24 days to be able to get back my systems. That's the minimum. Like 24 days is, in some cases, is like middle ground. And that's where the capability to be able to rebuild is such a critical thing. And I hope the industry catches on that capability beyond just restore recovery into rebuild approach.
Okay.
And we wish we could write a book or something like that to elaborate on those capabilities to balance out the cost and the recovery capability for resilience.
Awesome. One more thing. What's a final statement that you would like to make for the Gumbo audience to something that they maybe need to pay attention to or be on the lookout for? Just something that you want to share as a final call to action.
Don't be concerned about the resilience part. Be confident now that you can achieve much better resilience on the cloud. Again, I'm biased towards cloud compared to what you might have seen on-prem. Right? It's not difficult at all. It's now possible, and you can achieve much better resiliency on the cloud with on-demand capabilities. The recoveries are not painful. Recoveries are not expensive. Recovery testing is much faster, much more automated, at a much lower cost. So as systems get much more complicated and AI supposedly helping humans, right, as assistants, those AI agents could be used to reduce some of these error prone and toiling that happens within these environments. It is now possible. That's all I would say. As opposed to complicated, not possible, to now it's possible.
All right. Govan, this was a fantastic conversation. And the key word or takeaway from this episode to me is rebuild, right? So making sure that as an organization and even as an individual, right, making sure that you can rebuild your data and also rebuild yourself, because lots of layoffs have been happening, continue to see 5% here, 10% there, and they seem to be a normal theme, not just because of post-COVID, but just the way the world is advancing now with artificial intelligence. And I don't know, we're in some interesting times right now, Govan. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a really interesting place to see kind of where we all end up as far as data protection, protecting data, and also with some of the possibilities of where we can head. Before I let the audience go as well, make sure you check out the Backup and Recovery Professionals LinkedIn group, and also watch us on YouTube. We're actively trying to grow our YouTube presence. It's at Data Protection Gumbo on YouTube. Govan, it's been a pleasure to have you on the Gumbo.
Pleasure is mine, Dimitrios, as always. Thank you very much.